There was an operation against the British troops parallel to the negotiations. When the negotiations go in a smooth way, we ease the resistance. When the British delegation became stubborn, we intensify the resistance.
By the spring of 1956, Egypt is free of British troops. With his country moving away from its colonial past, Nasser embarks on an ambitious plan to transform the lives of his people.
Egypt was very much backward. 0.5% of the people were possessing nearly about 75% of the fortune.
We had one of the lowest standards of life. The majority of Egyptians were in streets with naked feet.
Nasser's solution is to build a huge dam on the Nile at Aswan, which will provide water for agriculture and electricity. It will be the biggest dam in the world and will lift Egypt out of poverty once and for all.
This project of the high dam will provide Egypt with water to double the farms and will give power, electricity to industrialize Egypt.
But Nasser needs $400 million to realize his dream, an enormous sum in the 1950s. His first port of call is the West.
In the beginning, Nasser and all the revolutionaries have no problem with the Americans. On the contrary, we can get help of the Americans.
The World Bank, backed by the United States and Britain, agrees to give him a loan. At this point, Nasser's relations with the Americans seem close.
Nasser's favorite film is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. He really loves that film. And Washington arranges to send out a special copy of the film with Arabic subtitles.
By 1956, Egypt's glamorous young president is confident his plans to develop Egypt are on course. But Nasser has another problem, which will destroy his plans.
As the sporadic fighting takes on the proportions of full-scale war, dead and captured arms are the order of the day as both Arabs and Israelis put their nations on a full mobilization basis. Bitterness on both.
Nasser fought in the Arab armies defeated by the Israelis in 1948. Since then, the Middle East's newest state has fought a border war with its Arab neighbors. Israel's very existence is an affront to Nasser.
Nasser was at that time a great danger and enemy. Very soon it was clear that he aspires to be the unifier of the Arab world.
Nasser made great speeches. He was handsome, he was eloquent, he carried fire with him. But it was a catastrophe.
The Israelis see themselves surrounded by enemies. Fearing attack, they are desperately trawling the world for arms.
The Americans were very strict. They wouldn't supply us arms. So did Great Britain. And I thought that the only opening we have is France.
France agrees to supply Israel with the Jewish state's first jet fighters. To Nasser, it looks like an increasingly powerful enemy is at the gates.
The French are giving Israel arms. I am confronting a situation that may destruct my country. Should I stand still?
So Nasser decides he too will look abroad for arms. As with the loan for his dam, his first call is on the United States.
Nasser, from the first day of the revolution, asked the Americans, I need arms. Our army needs arms. And he asked the British the same question. Neither the British nor the Americans gave a response to that.
But this is the 1950s, the depths of the Cold War. The West and the Soviet Union are locked in a battle for influence across the world. Nasser knows that if Washington says no, then maybe Nikita Khrushchev in Moscow will say yes.
Egypt flexes its military muscles with a display of arms newly acquired from Russia and its satellites.
The first arms from the Soviet bloc land in Alexandria on the 27th of September, 1955. The deal is a triumph for Khrushchev, who is keen to extend communist influence in the region.
He didn't expect that countries would be communist immediately. He was willing to wait. Egypt was the first great success for him. This was, for Khrushchev, a sign of the kind of relationship he could have with many of the large states in the developing world. And for the West, this was a very dramatic achievement.
But Nasser is not in Khrushchev's pocket, as many in the West fear.
No, Nasser has never been a communist, never, never at all.
We are believers. I am a believer. I believe in God. Nasser used to believe in God. Nasser used to pray. The communists don't believe in God. They don't pray.
Nasser was an anti-communist. The Soviets knew full well he was an anti-communist. They knew that he was putting communists in jail. He didn't let those communists out of jail when his relations improved with the Soviet Union. But both sides made a pragmatic decision.
But in Eden's view, Nasser does look like a communist stooge. The Prime Minister and the Americans decide to punish him for cutting a deal with the Soviets. Their response is to mount a covert campaign against Nasser, codenamed Omega.
Omega includes propaganda that provide information to journalists, to broadcasters, that say Nasser really isn't a very good person. Can you please report this? Omega also includes sanctions against Egypt. It includes blocking military aid to Egypt.